grace on display. And the question we want to answer this morning is, why? Why does God display his grace? And why does God save a people for himself? And the answer is, God's purpose is to display for all future time the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And so God wants to display his grace and the riches of his grace, the riches of his glory, in showing kindness to a people that truly don't deserve it, and yet he's glad to be gracious. And so what does God display? God displays grace. Grace. We saw that word again and again in our Old Testament lesson where Moses says, if I have found grace in your sight, please answer this prayer so that it will be evident that I have found grace in your sight. And God says, I will do this thing because you have found grace in my sight. And I will show that I am a gracious God. Amen? Amen. And so God saves us by grace to display the exceeding riches of his glorious grace in Christ. Let me say that again. God saves us by his grace to display the exceeding riches of his glorious grace in Christ. In other words, you and I, the church, we are to be the showcase of the glorious grace of God. We are to be the showcase of the glorious grace of God. Amen. Grace, first point is this, grace reveals the glory of God. Have you ever thought of that? Grace reveals the glory of God. What is grace? Well, grace is one of the many attributes of God. An attribute of God is an adjective, I guess you could say. A descriptor of who God is in his perfection and his character. And so when we think of God, yes, we think of God as infinite, eternal, unchangeable. And those are ways that we understand who God is. But we also understand that God is gracious. Grace is part of the very character of God. This is who God is in his essence, is gracious. And so it's with all truth that 1 Peter 5 says, he is the God of all grace. May the God of all grace bless you, Peter says. And so grace is part of who God is. And when God revealed his glory to Moses in answer to his bold request, show me your glory, God says, okay, I will cause all my goodness to pass before you. Remember that? He says, I will put you in the cleft of the rock. You'll see the back of my glory because no one can see it dead on and survive. And then this is what he says when he passed before Moses in the cleft of the rock. It says in Exodus 34:6, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. You see, our God is gracious. He is the God of all grace. Now, what is grace? Grace is the good pleasure of God that inclines him to bestow benefits upon the undeserving. Now, that's A.W. Tozer's definition, and I think that can be borne out in Scripture. Grace is the good pleasure of God that inclines him to bestow benefits or blessings on the undeserving. Who are the undeserving? Who are the deplorables? That's us. But God is gracious. He's merciful. And he shows his benefits toward his people. Now, God displays that he is gracious. How does he do this? By saving an undeserving people like you and like me. And where do we see this shown forth in large measure? You guessed it, in the church. In the church. And so we need to be patient with one another, because God is displaying his grace in his people. And again, this is the showcase of the glorious grace of God. And so one of the things we learn about this, you know, God's purpose in displaying his grace puts our salvation in the proper context. You know, we think, well, salvation, this is great. You know, I deserve to go to hell, and I'm not going, and instead I'm going to heaven, all because of what Jesus did. And that's true. But he didn't do it so much to benefit us as to glorify his name. And I think that's what this passage is saying, that he might show, in the ages to come, or for all time, the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And then it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And so, grace reveals that God is interested in his glory. He's interested in showing forth the glory of God. Amen? Amen. We see that in the first chapter of Ephesians. It talks about God blessing his people with salvation through the working of the Father, through the working of the Son, through the working of the Holy Spirit. And to what end? To the praise of his glorious grace. To the praise of his glory, in verse 12. And to the praise of glory, verse 14, from chapter 1. So it comes three times, verse 6, verse 12, and verse 14, from Ephesians chapter 1. To the praise of his glorious grace. Now, do we benefit from God's glorious grace? Absolutely. But first things first, it's for his glory. Amen? Amen. Grace reveals the glory of God. Grace also reveals the salvation of sinners. We see that in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Amen. Another way that could be translated is, for by grace you are the having been saved ones. Something that God did long ago, before the foundation of the world, he predestined us. It says, going back to Ephesians chapter 1 again, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. And so grace reveals that God saves sinners. We don't save ourselves. Do we throw ourselves a lifesaver and save ourselves? No. Salvation is the work of God. He's the Savior. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And so, did you notice it says, for by grace you have been saved? Little grammar there. That's passive. In other words, the action has been done on you. You have been saved. And it's a perfect tense, which means it's a completed action in the past. And so does our salvation, does it depend on us or depend on God? It depends on God. He's the one who saves us. And so Calvin says, faith brings a man empty to God, that he may be filled with the blessings of Christ. Amen? Faith brings a man empty to God, that he may be filled with the blessings of Christ. And so this Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that so that no one should boast. This is one of the first verses that I memorized as a baby Christian. And if you haven't committed it to memory, I want to encourage you to do that, because it's a good reminder and a good assurance of salvation. You know, we want to know and we want to be certain that we're saved. Amen? And we can know and can be certain as we receive and believe the promises of God. Amen? And this is one of them. And so if you're kind of wondering, well, am I really a Christian, or I'm kind of struggling with doubts, go to the Word. Go to those promises. Believe the promises. Memorize the promises. Meditate on the promises. Feed on the faithfulness of the Lord, and you will grow strong. Amen? Amen? Amen. 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 And this is one of the things that show, you know, as we respond to the Word, as we grow in the Word, these things show that we certainly have passed from death unto life. Amen? Grace also reveals that works and boasting are excluded. Works and boasting are excluded. Verse 9 says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. If our works were acceptable to God, why did he go through all the trouble of sending his son to the cross for our sins? Amen? Amen. Makes no sense. Why would he do that if it wasn't necessary? And Galatians 2:21 says exactly the same thing. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. And so the cross of Jesus Christ was absolutely necessary to secure our salvation with God. Amen? And so it is by grace that we're saved, but a great price was paid to secure that salvation. Amen?
Amen.
And so here's the question. Can we save ourselves? Can we work ourselves into a right relationship with God? No. 1,000 times, no. What does it say? Not by works, lest anyone should boast. And yet, you share your faith with people. You talk to them about the gospel, the way of salvation. You ask them the question, okay, now suppose you were to die tonight. And eventually, we are all going to pass through death. And so we need to come to grips with the question as we come before God. And he says, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And you know, so many people says, well, I've tried to live a good life. I've tried to do good things. Can we ever live a good life good enough and do enough good things to please a holy God? We cannot. We cannot. And so we must come by grace. We must come by somebody else's works, the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so the question today is, have you trusted in the finished work of Christ on the cross for your salvation? Because Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the question is, has he taken away your sin? Have you called on him to be your Lord and to be your Savior? Lord Jesus, please forgive me. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against the Father. I've broken the Ten Commandments. And I deserve death. I deserve hell. But please forgive me. Please come into my heart. I believe you. I receive you. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. I pray that if you haven't done that yet, that you would do that today. If you need help, if you don't quite understand, if you'd like it to be explained, come to me or come to one of our elders and we'll explain it to you. But don't let today go by without being sure that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, and that you are saved by grace and not by works. Amen? Grace reveals works and boasting are excluded. Why is boasting excluded? Well, if we had saved ourselves, then we could say, oh yeah, I saved myself. Look how wonderful I am. But that's not the way Christianity works, and that's not the way salvation works. Salvation reveals that I'm a sinner and that I need a Savior. And so rather than leading us to boast, that leads us to humble ourselves. And that's a mark of a Christian, someone who's humble before the Lord and realizes, I could never have saved myself. And so we give him the glory, all glory to Jesus, because he's the Savior. Amen?
Amen.
In the gospel, God declares that he owes us nothing. so that salvation is not a reward or repayment, but unmixed grace. Amen. That's another Calvin quote. So there's no room for boasting, no room for pride, but plenty of room for humility, plenty of room for praise to God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me by grace. We praise the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We adore them because of this so great salvation. Now, what about works? What about works? Do we just totally ignore and reject works? No, because there is a proper place of works. I guess you could put it this way. You need to make sure that works are on the right side of the equation. So works are not the cause of salvation, but the result. Does that make sense? Works don't cause my salvation, but they're the result of being saved. Amen? Amen. So man-made religion gets it wrong. Man-made religion says faith plus works equals salvation. But there's a problem there, because then our salvation depends somewhat on us. And if our salvation depends somewhat on us, why is that a problem? We can't trust ourselves to save us. So if it's partly on us, that's trouble. Amen? But according to the Bible, faith equals salvation plus works. In other words, our faith is not in ourselves what we do. Our faith is only what Christ does. Faith equals salvation plus works. The works follow, but they follow from our relationship with Christ. Jesus said it this way: if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. But the important thing is that we abide in Christ and that we draw the strength and life from him. So a better way of looking at the equation, rather than faith plus works equals salvation, look at it: faith equals salvation plus works. And works are the result of a living and vibrant faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So we don't trust in works, but we look for God to work them in us. And we will talk more about that next week as we go into verse 10. And you can read ahead Ephesians 2, verse 10. Wonderful, wonderful verse of God where it talks about how we are God's works of art. God's works of art. In his redeeming us, he's remaking us, and we are his workmanship, his craftsmanship, his works of art. So you guys are a piece of work in the hands of the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your grace that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to reveal to us your glory in this grace that leads to salvation, and that we would see that this is a gift. Thank you for this gift. And I pray that each one here would receive that gift by faith. We thank you for the faith we have. Pray, Lord, that you would strengthen it and cause it to grow. We believe, but Lord, help our unbelief. And then, Lord, give us grace not to trust our works and not to boast, but to be humble and give you the glory, give you the honor, give you the praise, give you the adoration, for you are worthy. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation you've given us in your Son, Jesus. For we pray it in his name. Amen. 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 Amen.